Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Cindy Sansone Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love, Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships, and Confessions of a Reluctant Long Island Psychic. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an artist, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and her war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Miss Nicole. How are you today?
Oh, I'm lovely, Miss Cindy, and how are you?
I'm good, but I noticed we're now dark before we start the show.
I know, and it makes me sad.
I was like, sad. Right? I know, isn't it? It's not the cold, because we haven't even been cold yet, but it's not even the cold that bothers me. It's the getting dark earlier and earlier. It's what's very
You know what?
Disturbing.
I don't mind it when it gets brisk, because, like, honestly, this weather is perfect. For Lisa and I to go ride motorcycles. It's not too hot. It's not mind the fact that it's a little bit chillier. I mind the darkness. It's just so sad when it's dark so early.
You know, I know that's the truth. And there's a thing called sundowning in older people, like especially if they have dementia, where they get a little crazy at sundown. So I think it kind of happens as you get older, like
I'm about to get crazy.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It kind of makes you a little bit crazy, right? You know, it's a little funny because it also, I started to feel a little fatigue, and I'm like, why am I feeling fatigue? Oh, because it's dark already. Do you know what I mean? Like your mind.
You need that vitamin D. It like recharges you.
Right. And it's just a strange thing how this. And remember, they're gonna turn the clocks back. So this is even as good as it gets now. Each day it's going to get a minute shorter.
I know.
So it's
and then we're
going
to turn back
to
these stupid clocks, and it's going to be worse.
Yeah, I know. That's like, I wouldn't even mind if they just left it alone, because it gets a minute darker earlier, and that would be doing it until December. So then it would start getting better.
I don't even know why we have to mess with the clocks anymore. Like, they originally, set daylight savings time for, like, kids and farmers and school and things like that. And that is just not the case anymore. We should leave
but
the damn
clock
alone.
But also what used to disturb me about it when my daughter would go to high school, because in the morning they would actually be going out in the dark, which I thought was very odd. You're standing, in the morning in the dark, It was like, that was so weird to me. So, I mean, I wish they would stop. Some places they don't do it. It gets, there's countries like when we're in the Caribbean or something, they don't turn it back. You know what I mean? So it's just different, because I think they're smart and they want that extra. What made that
did
music
you just turn
on?
On music?
I did not turn on the music. I'm not even near my computer, by the way. That is like, that is haunted.
So clearly somebody wants us to just leave daylight savings alone.
That's what I'm thinking. They're telling us, stop with
that.
Because it makes sense if you're in the Caribbean and it's a lot of like tourists. You would want to give them an extra, daylight at like 5 or 6 o'clock so that, when you arrive in the plane and it's, comes at 4 o'clock, you still get 2 hours and maybe go in the pool or something, Nice, but I know it's a little bit funny because I was just thinking, like, why do I feel tired? And I thought, it's because it's dark already. We have to get used to that, acclimated. That dark doesn't mean it's late. But you know, I was wondering if it was doing it to you today too.
Yeah, no, it just feels so much later than it actually is when it gets darker earlier, and I don't like it. Like, you know, yesterday Lisa and I were just sitting down and I made dinner, and I've been watching a lot of Kitchen Nightmares, so I've been getting a little bit fancy with my cooking. And then by the time we sat down to eat it, like, we ate dinner, and I was like, okay, I'm ready for bed now. And I'm like, what time is it? Because I'm used to cooking late because I'm used to her schedule being late, you know? And she's like, it's only 8:30. I'm like, what?
I know.
She's like, okay, too early for bed. I'm like, geez, why does it feel so late?
I know. Well, that's the funny thing about it all. And now we've both, you know, been talking about, slowing down a little bit.
Yep.
You're still trying to do that a little bit, slow it down.
Yeah, no, I've been doing a good job with that, actually. I think I've been too lazy this week.
Yeah, well, that's another thing. That's why I think we move really fast.
Yeah, I know. When we this move. Week I was exceptional with, like, last week I had, between, like, the show 2 weeks ago and our show last week, I had a nice balance. This week, I don't know, this week I think I was a little too lazy.
Well, that
accomplished everything I wanted to.
That's the whole point. I think we move fast because it's a constant pumping of adrenaline. And then when you're not pumping adrenaline, I think you slow down. I mean, I feel the same way. It's like, you know, I'm usually a person that doesn't waste a minute, you know, in between if there's a little time. I'm editing something, writing something, answering emails, doing this. I've been like, I don't want to do any of it. I don't want to do anything.
Seriously.
I just want to
I've been so
in
bad.
The walk-in closet, you know what I mean? And just, you know. Down.
I've been so bad. But you know what? It's like you know, even like today, like, you know, I mean, like yesterday, like I was like lazy for most of the day. Like I get my spurts where I'll do something for like 2, 3, 4 hours. And then I'm just kind of like, nah, okay, I did enough. Yeah.
Right.
And then I was like, you know, I mean, but like today, like I was like I took a lazy morning. I did nothing. And actually it was my cat's fault because he's a little love. I sat down to just finish my coffee and I was supposed to just finish my coffee and get up and start my day. And then he came over and he just plopped on my lap. And I said, I am not moving you, sir. So I will get up when you do. And that was like 2 hours down.
Well, good. Well, you know, I think...
Yeah,
okay,
it was just 2 hours.
I think we have to find a balance. I think we slow down too much.
I think so.
So let's reset it a little bit, moving a little bit faster. Nothing makes me more tired than walking with someone who walks slow. That makes me tired.
Yeah.
I have to walk fast, okay? And I have to do
everything
fast.
Well, even like the longer I sit, the more tired that I get. Like if I force myself to get up and move around, I'm good. I can go for the rest of the day. It's as soon as I sit, like if I decide that I'm going to do something and then I take a rest, forget it. I'm like useless. You know, but like today, like I got up after my cat detained me for 2 hours and it was worth every minute of it. I'm not even going to say it wasn't because he's a love and he was a little baker making biscuits on me and everything. He was so cute. And, you know, he was licking my hand. So he was trying to groom me like cats do because obviously, you know, cats see you as big cats. You know, he was just so sweet. And then I had my dog next to me and she was just snoring away. And, you know, and I could call her my little Snorosaurus Rex. And, you know, so like she sounds like a little mini dinosaur, you know, with her little snarls, you know, but I find it comforting and I fall asleep to it all the time. So I had them with me and then I got up and I ran around. I rewired things in the house and I cleaned everything. I, you know, redid my fish tank. Like, so I did stuff. I didn't sit on the couch all day, but I definitely sat on the couch more than I should have.
And it's funny because they say that to run up and down the stairs 10 times will give you as much energy as a cup of coffee. That shows you how just moving will get your energy going again.
I agree.
I mean? So we give these little like tips here, okay? So our tip is if, you know, you've been sitting and you're feeling tired, then you really need to maybe go outside for, you know, a brisk 10-minute walk. So you have stairs, run up and down them. Do a little jumping jack, something that gets you moving again, because that's what we need to do. You know what I mean? So, you know, we're finding this balance here. What's the right moving and grooving and, you know, doing fast. You know, when I clean fast. It kind of gives me energy to clean fast. But, you know, those days when you don't want to clean and it takes you all day to do what you probably could have done in a half an hour, those are the days you shouldn't bother. You shouldn't bother doing it.
I know those days.
But wait till the next day to do it because that's a wasted day, you know. So, again, we're doing a little bit this year of joy therapy, doing something just for the fun of it, and we're going to stress this over and over again. That does not imply spending money, money anyway. It, you know, could be a little money, maybe taking a yoga class or a dance class that costs you a little money. But it's doing something fun, painting, drawing, coloring, writing, if it's enjoyable for you. Quiet therapy for those empaths out there. They need that 20 minutes to half an hour to just sit by themselves, sigh and release that they're by themselves, and give back their energy. Because, you know, we're just trying to find things that just make life better and more enjoyable that aren't like big deals. They're not big deals. You don't have to change your whole lifestyle for it, you know, and yet they will probably save you years and years of therapy at that point, you know, because you really need to do these little things. So again, finding that balance between work and play, moving fast and moving slow, all those things are interesting, you know, what we need to do. And I will tell you, this show is totally possessed tonight because my computer is just, all of a sudden I'm looking at what it says the show's about and it's all moving around on my screen. It's really quite haunted now. So with that said, obviously there's some people on the other side that want us to get our listeners in, I imagine. So you could tell them what they have to do if they want to talk to us. And we do have a number of people pressing one already, but for
certainly
those people
let them know. Yes, so if you would like to speak to Cindy or myself this evening, please press number one. This way I will get the alert that will tell me to bring you into the chat room so that we can get you on the air tonight. And actually, Cindy, I kind of looked through a bunch of these numbers here, and I don't know. I don't recognize a whole lot of these numbers.
No, me neither.
Do you recognize any of these guys?
No. So I would say just go with the people that have been waiting the longest, and then maybe you can screen some of them. You know, but
yes,
we'll take our chance that they're good kind of crazy. You know,
we don't mind
kind of crazy on the show. We just don't want
Hopefully we know them and we just don't recognize the number. So we'll see who's been waiting the longest, just so that you know we're speaking to you. The last four digits of your phone number are 8683. And even if I pull you into the chat room, please note that I will always identify you by the last four digits of your number when you don't get screened, so that this way I'm not sitting there talking to myself. All right, so again, last four digits are 8683, and who is waiting for us there? Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Valerie. I'm from New
York.
Hi,
Valerie.
How are you?
You're our good kind of crazy, Valerie. We don't mind you.
Well, thank you. And, I always say I'm a little bit good and a little bit bad. That's how God made me.
We don't mind that at all. It's the ones that we once had someone hijack our show. That's why we say, which wasn't good, you know. They just took over our whole show, you know. Could you imagine, good thing we were in an airplane at that moment.
I'd say, oh, my gosh, wow. I'm just going to go to something you guys said. You were talking about days where you sit on the couch, and if you could do something, if it takes you all day to do something that you could get done in a half an hour, don't do it. Well, that was my day today. I got to do this. No. I'm just going to sit here and watch TV. I got to do that. No. Okay, I have to mow my lawn. Well, it's supposed to rain tomorrow. I'm like, I'm still going to get my lawn mowed tomorrow, rain or not. So, yeah, that was one of those days for me.
I don't know. Was it something in the air? Because literally, Nicole and I are very rarely tired. I'm the kind of person that no one would ever say she never has energy. But I kind of felt today like, if I could have just crawled under the covers all day and slept, I might have done it. You know what I mean? So maybe it is the change of the season. I don't know. Maybe it's getting darker earlier. But, you know, so you related to us. So sometimes it's better, though, than spending a whole day cleaning something that shouldn't take that long to do. Those are the days you just shouldn't bother. Because you felt like you're doing something, but you did nothing. You know?
You got it.
So, Valerie, why did you call into our show tonight? What can we help you with?
Well, there are two things I kind of am looking at. One is relationship, romance. The other is work. I've had a lot of interviews lately. One I had, I even got an offer too, but one that I had that I really, really want. The interview went really well, but and I was told it was going to take a little while to hear back, but I am super anxious about it.
Okay. As I could well imagine you would be. You know, the interviewing process just seems to be long now. And, you know, everything's a team. I don't know if you know that. Everybody has to work in a team. Nobody can make a decision. Trying to get teams, three people, to make all be in agreement is ridiculous at times. You know what I mean? So things get slower. You do look like you're definitely in the running for this job.
Okay. I know they were hiring for a few positions of the same type of position.
Right. So, you know, you're definitely, I mean, and they look like they had a lot. You had some stiff competition, just so you know, okay? Like, you know, they like you, and you're definitely, you know, strongly being considered. You just, I don't know if they, you know, let you know, but this a lot of people apply to these jobs, you know, so they're sorting through people. They may still be interviewing people, too, so it looks like the decision's not made yet, but you did get the justice card on it, and that's a good sign. You know, that's that you're due for this, you know. So in the meantime, what we try to teach on this show is sometimes there's a lesson in the delays, and those might be patience, perseverance, endurance, and to live in the now and, you know, do what you got to do and not like almost like obsess about it. Just let it go now and live your life. I mean, I've learned this the hard way being a playwright. I mean, you send out plays, you know, one person hates it and other people like they want it. Another person doesn't like it. Another person loves it. And I learned to take, you know, the wins and losses and I just send them out and I don't even think about it until it happens or it doesn't happen. It's like you did your best and put it out to the gods, you know, with it. And we're just going to put a little message out for the year 2024 for corporate America and other places. Please don't make the time that you wait employees to, you know, for a job be so long because it's really
right.
Okay. But
I agree
look
with
promising.
That.
It does look very promising. How many interviews did you actually have? Just one or more?
Well, it's pretty much a one-time interview, and then if they call you, you have some other things to do, like submit, go get a drug test. But at the end of my interview, I interviewed with two people over the phone. At the end of the interview, which I've never really gotten before, he said, if you don't hear back from us within a week and a half, call us. So I felt like usually they don't say call us, you know. So I'm like, huh.
Right.
Kind of like,
and
you know what I mean?
So when was this? Is it a week and a half yet?
Today is about a week and a half, yes. And
okay.
I did write to the HR rep and just said, hey, you know, just kind of wondering where I stand as far as my candidacy goes.
Right.
It was a little more than that. I mean, it was not, you know, professional and nice.
Good. And, you know, let's, you know, that was good you did it because who knows, maybe that's a test. Maybe that's them seeing, does she want this job so much that she will follow up in a week and a half? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, is she that kind of a person that, you know, will do what we said she should do? So I think that was very important you did do that. Okay. And
thank you.
You should be hearing back. It looks to me like they're a little undecided about a couple of things, and that doesn't pertain to you. So wait and see what happens. That looks good. Now, are you looking for love also? Is that what you want, or do you have love?
Well, in my heart, I have love. There is someone from my past. I'm just kind of wondering if you see us reconnecting on a good note.
Now, have you tried to contact this person at all?
I've seen them here and there. It's been, I don't know how to explain it. We kind of just I don't know how to explain it. It was a long, drawn-out, many years type of thing.
Okay, was it never committed, you know, like fully
No,
committed?
No, we were. No, we were. We had lived together for a while.
Okay, and, you know, in this particular person doesn't look like they're the easiest person all the time to deal with. Okay.
No, not really.
I'm saying that kindly here.
Yeah. I mean, he can be great, though. He's funny as heck. He can be really kind, but he can be difficult, but so can I.
And, you know, have you just thought about, like, you know how they told you at work, you know, with the interview, call us,
mm-hmm.
you know, follow up. Like, did you ever think of just calling him, contacting him, and telling him that you miss him and still think about him? Like, being truthful?
I think he knows that already.
Because it just looks like this isn't going to move forward too easily, you know, unless you start to be more proactive about it. I mean, I think he's glad you still care about him, and this could just go on and on and on like this. How long are you willing to wait for this situation?
Well, I've waited quite a while on the in-between, but now it's been a while.
There's an interesting time that you're, you know, right now in 2023, any relationship not serving our higher good is supposed to come to an end. When is your birthday? What month?
October. It's soon, actually.
Okay, that's what I thought, because your cards indicate a new, you got the Ace of Swords and the Ace of Pentacles.
Mm-hmm.
Both aces usually come near birthday. Ace of Pentacles is a new job, so you're definitely getting a good job, okay? And
okay.
The Ace of Swords means, like, let's cut out anything not serving our higher good. Let's pick up our strengths and go forward. So you technically have from October to October to either fix this, get this going, this relationship, or it's going to come to an end. And, you know, you'd be brought another soulmate. If you know, but you have to kind of be a little more proactive to see where this is going. But whether you know it or not, by a year from now, if he doesn't come forward, you're going to be fed up with the situation. And you're going to have a new job, meet new people, and you'll probably put in alignment with another soulmate if he doesn't come forward. There's a lot of moodiness showing in his cards. Do you know what that's all about?
Oh, he's a moody son of a bee.
Yes, I think.
He's worse than a woman sometimes.
That's what I would say. The cards are a person that you said, he has a good side for sure, but the moodiness is really strong here. So, you know, why don't you send him love on a soul plane and kind of, which means, you know, before you go to sleep, tell him you'd really like to, you know, reconnect, see what's going on. But even in him being brought back, some of the issues that separated you, they're still there. So that's why seeing where this is going to go one way or the other is important, so that you could kind of close the door on it, knowing that you never stop loving people. Sometimes you fall out of liking them. You start realizing it's not going to go forward. But even if you don't do much, the universe has very little patience for any relationships that are not teaching peace, love, and joy. If they're causing too much pain, they don't want them. If there's just not good communication, that's not going to stay. So, you know, if you do want him, maybe let him know. I think you said he knows, but that if he knows, then he should do something. I mean, you're a good catch. Like,
I think so, too.
You're a good, damn good catch. And him leaving you out in the open market so long is not the smartest thing he could do. And I will tell you, if come January, which is really technically the beginning of 2024, again, yours goes from your birthday, so you've got kind of 2023 is going on here. If they decide by January of 2024 that this man's not coming around anytime soon, no matter what you do, they could bring another soulmate in alignment with you. Like, they don't, the spirit doesn't want you to waste any more time. So between now and January, if you could do something to move it forward, if he doesn't do anything to move it forward, I think either way the universe is going to register that as start bringing you in alignment with someone else if this isn't going to come forward. So,
okay,
you know, again,
that makes sense.
Again, if he does come forward, say in January, okay, then that still mm-hmm. gives you to October to figure out, is this working? Is it not working? Do you know what I mean? So this is mm-hmm. going to be figured out from October mm-hmm. to October. So, you know, these are things like pray for a soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit to you and commit to healing, and you want to be the same. Like, this is really the year 2023 of the dream catcher. I don't know if you've listened to our show before, but your dream catcher year is beginning with your birthday. So, you know, whatever little birdie of your spirit guides prompted you to call in our show is because you do yeah. have a birthday coming. They want you to be aware that you have this dream catcher year, this soulmate year. So mm-hmm. that's what you're throwing into the dream catcher. You want a, you know, a good job. I wouldn't overly pray for that particular job per se, because sometimes rejection means protection. If we don't get something, spirit knows that job wasn't really right for us, okay? So mm-hmm. basically, it's to tell the universe, I think I really do want that job very much. And if it's mm-hmm. right for me and it's thy will be done, give it to me. Do you know what I mean? Kind of also turn
right.
it spirit, okay? Just because sometimes they know something we don't know. But between
right.
2023 and 2028, you could have anything you want. So the big changes are career, there's love here, but being aware that this is your year to make change and get what you want, but it does mm-hmm. demand being a little proactive. Like, you know, when we talk about you want a job, you do have to put resumes out, you have to go to interviews, you have to do things. With love, it's the same thing. Maybe just sitting back and waiting for him to come to you, it doesn't look like it's the smartest move here. Because right now it looks like he's got some commitment issues and he thinks, well, she still wants me and I could kind of run away a little bit still. You know, kind of letting him know how you feel and you would like to see what's here. And, it, you know, going out a few times doesn't, you know, you don't need, we always say here, you don't need a prenup for a cup of coffee, okay? So just try it. I love the way you did contact the work today. I think that's the beginning of you being more proactive. You know, a lot of other people have said, well, if they didn't come get to me, maybe they forgot about me or something. You know what I mean?
Right.
Also, I think that interviewer told you that A is a little bit of a test, but two, because he would want the other person who may not be 100% on board with you to realize that, well, you know, she's asking us and she's not going to wait forever. Do you know what I mean? Like, that was kind of, it's good what you did.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Everything looks good. Call in again and let us know what happens, but do take advantage of the dream catcher year, okay? Like, from your birthday to your birthday. And already I think you're starting, you know, just embarking on your, you know, getting another job. All of this is, you're feeling it inside yourself that you want a better year ahead for you. You want more than you've had in the past.
That's correct. I do. I really do. Can I just throw one more?
Sure.
Quick.
Sure.
Can you just tell me really quickly, is he with someone? Like, what's going on with him? Like, just
okay,
in general,
that's
besides his moodiness.
I think there is someone else showing up in the cards here. You know, we discuss love as like a ladder. You guys were soulmates at one point, which is the top of the ladder of love. Remember loving him heart, soul, mind, and body when you first met him?
Yes.
Okay. And it didn't maintain itself. Sometimes it went down to toxic. Sometimes it shut the hell up. It got mediocre. And love could be fixed 2 feet in or 2 feet out, so you had to separate. It looks like he's with someone, but go down the ladder of love. It's not even like a woman to fit a plan, which would be kind of like the old arranged marriages or, you know, my eggs are old, I meet somebody on Match.com, they're the right size, shape, color. It's a lower rung than that. It's what I call a Tinderella. It's a narcissistic rung. It shouldn't really last more than 3 to 6 months. So
okay.
I don't think this is not a big love here, okay? But he may be just trying to see what's there before he contacts you. But so maybe you what I look is if you contact him, it might help speed up the ending of that one, you know, because it's not meant to last. What made you suspect there was someone else?
Just, I don't know. I always just kind of wonder. But I recently, I'm clairvoyant, and I used to read, and I stepped back from it for different reasons. and but I have a lot of clairvoyant dreams. And recently I had a dream, because I had seen them over the summer, and it got pretty harsh between us. I can't tell a lie. But recently I had a dream, and it was like he screamed out. He said, "I love you," and said my first name and my last name. And I'm like, when I woke up, I'm like, God, that was too vivid. Wow. And then I think I had another dream about him like the next, but that was just very vivid.
Right. And
I don't
again,
know.
That
weird.
Was his soul. You know, what happens is when you're soulmates, the soul mm-hmm. sometimes gets very mad at the ego that fucked things up. And so what the soul mm-hmm. does is comes to you in a dream. Like, he's loving you like a dead man. If he was dead, he'd come to you to give a message in your dream. So his soul literally came to deliver that message. So, and I knew you were very psychic from the beginning when you came on the phone. I could sense your psychic ability. And I think that's why the music went on. And that's why the typing was jumping around, because that would only happen to somebody that's very psychic on the other end of the show, okay? So, they're very psychic, but that was his soul telling you. So with that, I would actually put my cards on the table, tell him how you feel, and that apologize for what you did and how you could have handled it differently. And, you know, maybe some ground rules between the two of you. Say what you mean what you say, don't be mean about it, and figure out what's there. And, you know, I wouldn't be afraid to do it, because his soul would not have come to you in that dream if the soul wasn't getting worried. And I would tell you why his soul would get worried. Mm-hmm. His soul is hearing, if you don't move forward by the time we get to 2023, you're going to lose her. They're going to bring in alignment another soulmate. Because this is no longer soulmate. This is causing a lot of pain. So it's toxic love. So if you don't step up to the plate, you're going to lose her. So his soul is getting frantic now. So even for you to be brought another soulmate, you have to be karmically correct. You would have to say, you're probably the love of my life. I want to be with you more than
mm-hmm.
anything. And, you know, see what he does with that. Now, you know, it's funny, because talking to dead people is pretty brutal, because 90%, probably 95% coulda, woulda, shoulda loved better. Nobody mm-hmm. regrets saying these things. Like, when we die, we're going to see what would have happened if we only had said these things. Maybe you would have been with him.
Right.
It would have been good instead of spending a life without him. So you taking the fact that he came into the dream, that was his soul. You can have to speak to him in a way where his soul can hear you, not his ego, because his ego looks like he's a splinted person. He's a very high ego.
He's a Leo.
So I would say, you know, you got to tiptoe around him. But mm-hmm. in saying it, you'll feel a little more in control. And part of this year of the dream catcher is being in control of your destiny. And that means we have to say what we mean and see if where it goes. And if it doesn't go where we had wanted it to go, let the universe bring us something else. Okay, so in just saying it, you won't lose, okay? You know, and he doesn't look like he's very happy with the person that he's with, by the way. It's like really toxic, pretty toxic, you know? So with that piece of knowledge, you know, go forward. And keep us a little, you know, posted about this. Like, let us know what you find out or how you feel. Because I don't think you could go on forever first seeing what's here before they bring you someone else. Do you know what I mean? Because if you still want him, think about the soulmate. If they brought the soulmate tomorrow and mm-hmm. the other guy steps up to the plate, who are you going to choose? Do you think that new soulmate deserves to have his heart ripped out? So they usually prefer one thing to be settled before they bring in on another. But if he doesn't come around past January, so they'll bring another soulmate because they'll register he's not coming round. Do you know what I mean? So right now,
I do.
It could go either way here, these cards, either way, you know. And
okay.
And if you still want him, then it's worth giving it a try. Okay, again, you won't regret it. Maybe, you know, maybe our egos get bruised, but even if we hear what we don't want to hear, it helps us move on. And that's
something,
you know what I'm saying? And sometimes we just need that final, okay, is the straw that broke the camel's back that makes us go forward.
Right,
you know, so
right.
Good luck to you. And,
Thank you.
Don't forget to call in again and let us know how you're doing.
I will definitely call in. Thank you so much, and
you're
God
so
bless.
You're so welcome. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, Nicole, I see we have Debbie.
Yes, we do.
Oh, tell me
and
about
Debbie.
Debbie.
All right, so Debbie is a first-time caller, Cindy, and she is calling us from New Orleans, and she really, really has a wonderful energy. We were chit-chatting about some New Orleans history in the chat room earlier, and she was laughing at my waxed conversations with my mom, and she's quite lovely, and she is a first-time caller, like I said, and what I love about her right now is that this is legitimately her question. And then we're going to put her on the air. She's like, I wonder if she can just give me a little bit of insight because I'm sort of in a stuck position. And then she said, well, actually, I think I'm kind of stuck, but I think I'm kind of keeping myself there, but I'm not really sure, but I think I know.
Interesting. And that's actually the truth. You know,
I exactly said the same thing, Cindy. I was like, well, you know what? I said, well, acknowledgement is the right move. It's the first thing to do. I said, and hopefully Cindy will tell you how to get unstuck. So I'm going to let Debbie tell you the rest of her story. We're going to go out to our first-time caller, Debbie, in New Orleans. Hello, Debbie. You are on
Hello.
The air. Thank you for calling tonight.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to get on. Thank you.
So it's funny because you're a very old soul, Debbie, and old souls, oh, like the devil, they know. They don't make change fast enough, okay? They stay stuck way too long, and then there's a point where being stuck, like if they get bored in a position, because old souls do, the one thing they hate more than change is boredom. So if they start to feel boredom, it gets them a little antsy to move forward. Are you feeling bored or tired with this situation at this point?
Yes, absolutely.
And that's what stirs us on more than anything, by the way. So what month is your birthday?
February.
Okay.
And you know what's really weird? I asked for this time of doing nothing, and I realized that I actually asked for this because I was tired. And then I'm like, why did I ask for this?
And it's funny because notice how we started our show with people being tired. You know what I mean? People needing a rest. Old souls really work very hard. They're like the donkey people. They're always doing, doing, doing. And sometimes they do need this rest period. But for an old soul, they keep busy and doing because they actually, like, they thrive on that. I think you recharged your batteries as much as you're going to in this stuck position, okay? Like, and now boredom is going to be worse than rushing around like a lunatic, okay? I had one job once, and I was in college when I had it, and it was like a town job, and man, we had no work to do. But we weren't allowed to read. We weren't allowed to do anything. We just had to sit and do nothing. 8 hours. I wanted to blow my brains out, really. I was never so antsy in my entire life. You know, now I know why they call it a government project, because nothing got done there, okay? So with an old soul, they really sometimes get really tired, and then God gives us what we ask for, a little downtime. But staying in there too long, you're passing your, it's no longer serving your higher good. You recharged your battery. Now, what would you like to do? Where would you? Because remember, your dream began in February, so you have from February to February. So you have a couple more months to, like, let's throw into this dream catcher year. What do you want? So do you have a vision of what you would like to do now?
You know, I think that's not really. First, I thought I was going to go into the healing arts, and now it feels kind of a codependency, if that makes sense. That I don't know, like maybe I was in a very different space, and I was told I was a healer and all this stuff, but then I was like, really, am I going to get up every day and do this for a living? You know, I don't know.
Right.
Or I know it's more of a calling, but then I also remembered I was super, I used to be in television and I was creative and things like that. But being stuck and asking the universe for stuff and then getting it and not wanting it has made me not want to ask, if that makes sense.
So like you are manifesting. They're kind of like, you know, sometimes the gods punish us. They give us what we ask for, okay? And,
exactly.
You know, and, you know, there's no reason that your healing art can't be creative as well. But I like the way you said codependency, and I will explain to you that maybe if you approach this healing art, you're going to have to do it with a different attitude or perspective. In other words, my job to deliver messages to people. What they do with it when they leave here, I could give a shit at this point, because I can't cry for all the people that you ask for guidance and you get it and you don't listen. And then you get the full whammies of karma, okay? So I would hope they would do the messages that are delivered, but I don't have any – the outcome is up to them. It's not up to me. So if I thought my job was to fix everybody and rescue everybody, because there's a dysfunctional triangle called rescue a persecutor victim. If I think I'm supposed to rescue somebody from their life, 2 minutes later they're going to be persecuting me and victimizing me. It's just not going to work. So maybe you would have to approach this that you are someone who's going to facilitate their healing, help them help themselves. You deliver messages and tools to do this, but not worry about the outcome of it, because that's what drowns us. Okay? Because, you know, there's sometimes when I just say to God, I'm not doing this anymore. I really can't. I mean, you know, some people have, I'm not kidding. They you know, I'm not kidding. Like, clients have killed themselves that have nothing to do with me, but, you know, and I've been asking them questions, are you using drugs? What are you doing? And they're lying to me. And I'll tell them point blank, I can't help you if you lie, okay? And later on, I'll feel devastated by it. But you know, then spirit will come through. That wasn't your job. Your job, you delivered the message you were supposed to. And people then have to do what they do. I think you were right to say it could be dysfunctional, because it can be. If you get roped up, like when I do readings, I don't cry with my clients, okay? Because it's not that I'm not compassionate. But I have learned that I have to block some of that pain. It is not my pain, okay? Of course, some readings haunt me for days, and I sometimes can't sleep over it at times. But basically, I've learned to put their pain as their pain. I have enough of my own. I can't carry theirs too, okay? So you would have to maybe look at this through different eyes, okay? If you're going to look at it through the eyes of the way we've been brainwashed to look at things. Like, we have to fix everybody, okay? We have to care about outcome. I learned as a writer to create art without worry about outcome, okay? If it goes or it doesn't go, I've created my art. It's the same thing with healing and helping people with healing. You do what you're supposed to do without worry about the outcome of it, because that may be what's making you scared, okay? And, you know, some people, they don't want me to predict a future. They want me to give them a future. It's not my job to give you a future. You know what I mean? You got to figure out your own future. You know what I mean? Come on. And, you know, so with you, can you combine some, you know, are you trying to figure out what you're going to do when you grow up now? Is that question in your head?
Yeah, kind of.
Okay.
I've always helped people, but lately there's been like two or three people, when I give them the truth, they literally got angry with me.
Because it's rescue a persecuted victim. You see that? You didn't rescue them. Also, people, we're people pleasers, and people don't like when we tell them the truth, okay? And, you know, if I have to tell people the truth, and I have to, and that's sometimes when I don't want to do this. Like, I remember once doing a reading where this woman, she had loved me, and her son had died in a car crash. And, you know, for three readings, she loved me. But on the fourth one, he said, now you're going to have to tell my mom that she was a train wreck before my car crash, and that she can't go on blaming everything in her life because I died, because she has other children that need her, and that there were issues before I died that she never, ever took care of. And so when I delivered that message to her, she was fine here, but, man, she turned on me so viciously it wasn't funny.
Yeah.
But when I didn't want to deliver that message, but I kept having spirit guides come through And one was says, if you don't tell that, this is going to happen, this. And finally, with one of her other children, were going to kill themselves because these children are so neglected. And when I saw that, I said, I have to say something. But the point being, people don't like us when we deliver truth. And normally, Spirit will give us the words to say it in a way that people will hear it, you know. But if they decide to turn on you and we're people pleasers, we want people to like us, we got to get over that, okay? You know, of course we want them to like us, blah, blah, blah. But in telling the truth, and you did it righteously. You just did the facts. You delivered the facts to these people, and they just didn't like it. So you don't want to be – maybe those people have changed. In other words, most people are Dr. Jekyll's, Mr. Hyde. They have a good side and a bad side. Unfortunately, as people get 40 and over in this culture, or even 25 and over, they begin to join the bad side. And maybe these people were different years ago, but they're not now, and they've decided to be an unfixable, a manipulative person who's judgmental and not accountable. And it's that turning on you that it's going to happen once in a while. It happens very rarely, but it has happened to me. And the times it's happened, it's when I don't want to do this. And pretty much, you know, the voice of the Spirit says, get over it. Get over it. You did your job. It's all. Okay? And a lot of times what I've told them is actually, it is accurate. And a year later, some of these people call me apologizing. And they want another reading.
That's
happened too. And I'm saying, but I'm not reading you. Yeah, I lost three nights sleep over that. So I then don't want them in my life. You know what I'm saying? Because
that's what I didn't do. I took them back in and then found out about, like, you know, I was given information slowly, and finally it was a drug issue, you know, and yeah, I did, because I felt like I was being unconditional. See, that's where I was trying not to place judgment on the person. I thought,
right, but
I'll be
Is that person abusing drugs? They're abusing drugs?
Yeah.
Okay, now when everyone's unfixable while they're using, you haven't called into our show before, but an unfixable is someone over the age of 25. Who's highly manipulative, which means they push your guilt buttons because good people have guilt. Bad people have no guilt. They lie. They tell half-truths. They're highly judgmental of you and everyone else, and they're not accountable for their bullshit. So this person may be fine when they're not using, but when they're using,
Correct.
They're unfixable. So until they get clean, you can't even help these people if they're going to be like that. Do you know what I mean? So you know, you delivered the message, and part of us delivering, and that's exactly what I'm talking about here, the clients that I've had to tell them that are dealing drugs and doing drugs, and I'll tell them, you came here for guidance, and you're like dead grandfathers telling me, like, they don't know what to do with you. Dealing drugs is a crime against humanity, okay? It's not a good thing to be doing here. So either stop dealing these drugs, or you're not going to be long for this earth, and or you're going to be arrested. And like a week later, they're either in jail, they're dead. You know what I mean? And I feel terrible, but you don't come here asking for guidance and then walk out here and don't accept and don't do it, because you're going to.
Right.
I tell the people, don't come here. Don't ask me, because once you get guidance here, you're going to get the whammy of karma. Okay, maybe if you don't hear what's delivered, they'll be kinder to you. So don't come here asking for help and then don't do it. So when you're dealing with an addict, that's the dysfunctional triangle. The dysfunctional triangle goes all around behaviors, but alcoholics, drug addicts play it best. They want us to rescue them, give them some money, do what they need. When we don't do it, then they're persecuting us, and now we're their victim. Then we step into rescue again, or they come back around and try to be nice to us. And it just goes around this dysfunctional triangle. The only way to get out of that is to step outside of the triangle. Just deal with the facts, which you tried to do, just the facts. But you're getting roped into something that, you know, they have to want to help themselves. Like, God helps those who help themselves. If we help an addict more than three times, it could change up very bad karma for us, because God would say,
leave
them with
it. Well, only two, thank goodness. It was only two. I won't do it a third, because
because then we could ching up negative karma, because they don't want to be helped. Leave them where they fall. Pray they don't fall too hard. Ask your spirit to send them someone else to help them, but we have to step away. So what you got hooked into that dysfunctional triangle, and that makes me not want to do this. Like, when I have clients that want me to rescue them, I'm clear to say I'm not the right reader for you. I do not rescue anybody. That's not my job. It's above my pay grade.
Right.
Okay, so I've learned to step away from people like that. Okay. Because it's just, if you ever wonder why bad things happen to good people, if you don't get the hell out of God's way and you keep helping people that do not deserve to be helped anymore, then God will disempower you, nuke your house in the next hurricane. Now you have no money to help these people. Stir up some of that anger in you, and anger is disease. Next thing you have cancer, you're getting a stroke, you're blowing your brains out. And it's really, you're supposed to be doing something to help people for sure, but again, not to be the rescuer of people. You know what I mean? And there are people that just won't be fixed in this lifetime. They're just not going to be.
I feel that I'm better, and maybe I feel like I'm not used to being in this position where I do tell people no a little more, and I'm kind of, you know, the people that were used to it are saying, you know, I'm mean maybe, or I'm harsh. And with that young man, I told him he had 3 DUIs, and he's like, what do I do? What do I do? I said, pay the consequences. You might have to go to jail, you know, but just own it. And you start from here. And I won't grieve for him anymore. I won't, because I didn't know that I could incur the karma like that. That is new for me. Thank you. I didn't.
Right. I mean,
we
have to get out of the way. And, you know, everyone, what he wants you to do is rescue him. You know what I mean? Like, you have 3. But these people are like unfixables at some level. You've gotten 3 wake-up calls. What the hell's the matter with you at this point? And you're still doing it. And first of all, to drive under the influence is a crime against humanity. Like, the fact that he hasn't killed people is probably because spirit guides are steering that car. But when he dies, he could see the 3 carloads of people he should have killed, and that will be on his soul records. It doesn't matter that his spirit guides and the families in those cars, spirit guides prevented this. But these are things that's a crime against humanity. It's gross, you know, negligence and disregard for a human life. So these are things that, you know, this is not a victimless crime, okay, driving under the influence at all.
Right.
So, and, you know, it's hard when you're dealing with these circumstances. And, again, they will call you harsh. You're not nice. You're not being a good Christian. You're not being, you know, you're not being good. And meanwhile, I tell them, you know, Jesus is the only martyr, okay? And let him carry your cross. And if Jesus could fix people, the man would have saved himself a crucifixion and fixed them. So if Jesus can't fix people, I can't either. Thank you. Okay, so learning that they're going to call you names. They're going to say you're not a nice person. And what Jesus would say is, stop being such a people pleaser. Like, what do you care? After a while, we don't even like these people. We care if they like us. And they will always
find... I just felt like I wasn't helping. You know, like, when you said that, though, I had, like, a confirmation. Chill bumps went down to my feet. Just straight down.
Yep.
Like,
and you know truth when you hear it. Okay? A lot of times we help people out of guilt. And guilt is fear. And what we do out of guilt gets no brownie points from God. Okay? And I have an expression, you lost me at the guilt. You start pushing my guilt buttons, I'm out of here. I've never intentionally hurt anybody. That does not work on me. Come up with another manipulation. Okay? Because that one's not going to work here. Okay? So you have to learn that good people are plagued with guilt. They always feel bad, and bad people have no guilt whatsoever because the unfixables of the world wrote the rules. It's your fault. Come back here and fix me. So learning to step away from these things, these people will always find another sucker who needs to learn you can't fix people, by the way. There's always another one that's got to learn this lesson. Okay, so we say it with kindness. You know, and that's, you know, and, you know, no is a complete sentence. We don't have to say, no, I wish I could, but I can't. Just no. Okay? No.
Okay.
You know, and be a little stronger on it, because that's why if you wanted to be in the healing arts, it would be impossible for you unless you develop a skin that's a little tougher and an ability to, you know, not always care what everyone says. It's not easy. It does hurt. But, you know, people will keep asking you and asking you and asking you for help unless you finally do learn, it's not your job. And think about it, like, you're going to get a lot of guidance from your spirit guides in the next week or two. When people get a reading from me, a lot of it is not me that changes their life. Yes, I say words that click things in their heads, but your spirit guides will begin to give you what's called waking dreams, showing you exactly your errors in thinking and why the way you're thinking has not served your higher good. Okay, so, you know, we're the great enablers, old souls. Everybody screws up and we clean it up. That's not the laws of karma. You screw up, you clean it up. How's it my job to clean up? You know what I mean?
It's true.
Do you know what I mean? So you fuck up, you clean it up. That's not my job. Keep in mind these things that I'm saying, and I think you call in again in the near future and let us know if anything that's said, if it's woken you up, if your eyes are, you know, vision is clearer in the world, and if you feel more at peace, because the true peace that Jesus, you know, promised was saying things like your enemies in your household. Sometimes you have to cut these people out. Enough is enough. Okay, so
but that's exactly the toughest one that you just mentioned. And when I was telling your producer at the beginning, I kind of know what it is, and it's the critical person in my household.
Yep.
That's an unfixable, and
So you know
strange.
The unfixable, manipulative, judgmental, not accountable. If they have addictions, it's even worse. But the point is, figure out who's fixable and who's not. If they're over the age of 25 and each year over, the prognosis of them changing for the better is very poor. It's 2 to 10%. They'd have to earn a miracle. I'm not a miracle worker. You're not a miracle worker. Jesus wasn't that kind of miracle worker. He could fix your physical ailments, but if you knew not what you did, he had no clue how to fix it. God doesn't give up on anyone, by the way. These people get a million wake-up calls every day, and they'll continue to get them whether we're in their life or not. A wake-up call for these people can be a good person walking out and saying, no, enough is enough.
Okay.
That's another wake-up call. So, you know, keep letting us know how you're doing and what's happening.
Thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
I appreciate it.
Okay, bye.
Okay. Bye.
Okay, we're just going to try to get Debbie Tony. I know we're at the end of our show. I'm going to pick her up because, hi, Debbie Tony. You're with James, who I love, who was in our Beethoven play, and he's in Way Out. He's Way Out kind of guy. How are you guys doing?
I'm awesome. I'm just so happy that James is here, but I just want him to say hello to you, not me. Say hi to her.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, James. How are you, my pal? I'm so excited to hear from you. I loved you guys in the show that I saw, that Debbie showed me a video of. You, everyone was so phenomenal in the show.
Oh, thank you.
He's so what?
He stole the show
for sure. Absolutely. I think everyone stole the show, actually. At different times. So what are you guys up to?
Working on Christmas caroling songs. I recently got hired for a Christmas caroling group, and me and Debbie have just been going over all the songs.
Oh, wow. That's so exciting. Wow. So you can see what we do on the show here is we try to, like, you know, talk about people and their errors in their thinking and why life doesn't have to be as hard as it is for people. And I'm really glad that you called in. Debbie, you're feeling Jeff around you at all? Because I think Jeff's been there singing the carols along with you. Not that he can hold a tune, he said.
That is untrue. He's a tenor and he's a liar. He never let me know he was a good singer. I found out at his eulogy.
That's what I'm trying to tell you, because he's still saying he wasn't, but you know that's not true, correct?
I said to him, because I know as soon as someone opens their mouth, in 1 second, if they can sing or not. And I knew he was a good singer, and he just hid it from me. I knew it.
And now, you know, it's because he didn't believe in himself. So, you know, he seems to be much more peaceful than he was. And he is there enjoying you guys singing, by the way. So he's allowed down on earth 100 hours a month. He's there right now with you guys. So I don't know if James knew him. He knew him, right? He met him at the show, right? He was sitting in the front row.
I'm not sure I saw him. Yeah, he knew. He knew he was there, and that's when I told his mom. Everybody knew he was there. Who wears suspenders?
Well, we're at the end of our show, and they're going to cut us out in 2 seconds. So thank you for listening, everybody, and good luck with the Christmas carols. We love those. And, Nicole, thank you for everything tonight.
Of course, my love, of course. And please send your husband my best, or actually the best from myself and Lisa.
Oh, thank you. And he's getting better. He's getting better.
Good.
So that's the most important thing. Well, good night, everybody.
Absolutely.
We'll all speak soon. Next week we'll come very soon.
Bye.
Bye.